Welcome back to The Bible as Art, where we're in a series on a Christian guide to beauty and design. We're currently exploring the properties of a work of art or design that makes it beautiful. And so far, we've looked at unity, diversity, and hierarchy. And today, we're exploring form. For something to be beautiful and well-designed, it must have form, or more precisely, multiple forms. And a form is something with a structure, nature, essence, a meaningful and intelligible structure. So a circle is a form, a hand is a form, a car is a form. And there are higher and lower forms, higher in aesthetic, moral, or ontological value. So a pencil is a lower form than a panda, and a muskrat is a lower form than a man. Why? Well, a panda has greater ontological properties. He's alive, and a pencil is not. Man is more beautiful than a muskrat. Notice, you may love a muskrat, but you would never want to unite in marriage with a muskrat. You see, we intrinsically understand the hierarchy of forms. And this is the way God designed creation. He designed the world with a hierarchy of forms. Lower forms and higher forms. And these forms go all the way down. The smallest form we know of is a quark. A quark has a nature, a distinct essence, and there are actually six types of quarks. And each of these six types have properties that make them what they are, that is their structure, electric charge, spin, mass, size. And the form of quarks make up higher forms, protons and neutrons. And the form of protons and neutrons combine to make up higher forms, a nucleus, and so on and so on. Higher and higher. Like Legos, God builds larger things from smaller things, more complex forms with more basic or simple forms. And notice what the world is not. It is not just one thing, an undivided, undifferentiated thing. Nor is it a smooth gradient or gradations of things, as if everything seamlessly, without seams or edges, glided into each other. No, the world is made up of different kinds of things, different and distinct forms. Now, of course, all these things are related, and we'll talk about that, the interpenetration of things. But at this point, we must appreciate that things have natures or structures and edges. So let's talk about these three aspects of form, its nature, its edge, and the hierarchy of forms. The first thing you do when you're creating a work is make an edge. That is, you create the boundary between your thing, your painting, your web page, and the outside world. Inside and outside, this thing and not this thing. In architecture, you have a parcel of land with a perimeter. With music, you open up a new piece of sheet music. In design, you open up a new Illustrator or InDesign file, and there are edges to the pages. There are new documents. Now, you may be thinking, well, what if I want my work to be connected to the outside world, the things around it? Yes, absolutely. That's a whole nother topic, and we'll talk about that because that's actually one of the most important decisions that needs to be made. That is how closely this relates to other things. It has to, and it should. But let's think about this for a second now. Buildings have windows, and the number of windows and the size of windows will determine how much the exterior, the outside, interpenetrates into the inside, the interior, and vice versa. If you have glass windows, then you are allowing the outside to be seen, to enter into the life of the interior, and the interior world to be seen from the exterior. If you add screens, then you are allowing not only the visuals, but also the odors to interpenetrate. In a piece of graphic design, you must decide how much the new poster or brochure will use the previous visual language of the brand or previous brochures or posters, and how much will use the visual idioms of that locale or that time in history. In music, you could borrow rhythmic, melodic, or harmonic patterns from other genres, artists, or time periods. And the ability to determine both the quality and the quantity of interpenetration between the exterior and the interior is a great skill that must be developed and discipled. There are very important questions about this, and we will address these in later videos. The important thing for now is that when you make a work of art, a form or a form made up of forms, there is an edge. Even if it's a small edge, there is a difference between this thing and that thing, this song and that song, this house and that house. Form creates edges. Forms have a structure, an intelligible nature that accounts for their unity. For instance, the nature of a circle is where all the points of that shape are the same distance from the center. A note in music denotes a sound that has a specific pitch. When you move up the hierarchy of forms, the nature becomes more complex because they are more composite. That is, they're made of more subforms that comprise that one form. A car is a higher form than a screw, and indeed a car contains many screws and many other forms in it. In The Milkmaid by Johannes Vermeer, you have the form of a woman, and she is composed of a head and hands, etc. You have the form of the pitcher and the bowl and the bread and so on. There is much freedom within which the artist may play, combining forms in different ways. The artist must not, however, not work with forms. That is, in fact, metaphysically impossible, because even if you have indistinct things, the chemical structure of the colors still have a formal structure. Indeed, artists like Rothko tried hard to get rid of form, but could never avoid the ontological constraints of creation. Or Jackson Pollock. As much as he tried to get away from form, there are constraints of the gravitational force and the viscosity of the paint that brought consistency to the form of the paint drippings to afford, and albeit minimal, but some unity to his works. As an artist in God's world, we want to aspire to the higher forms, that is, God, God's images, man and woman, and God's creation. This was an obvious insight shared by the entirety of the artistic tradition until modernity. Now, I'm not arguing only for drawing realistic pictures of people. We must remember the chapter on hierarchy. There's a whole panoply of things God has created, and the highest beauty that God has made is incorporating all these things into one creation. Higher forms are created by combining lower forms together in different ways. And once that higher form is created and added in a work of art, the artist must work within it in ways consistent with its nature. That is, once some aesthetic decisions are made, that disallows others. Thus, the higher you go, having to relate multiple layers of reality in multiple forms, the more difficult the design and the possibility for higher and greater beauty. This is true of softwares, societies, and symphonies. Harmoniously writing two simple functions is simple. But harmoniously integrating 100 functions with hundreds of nested functions is far more difficult and wonderful, and allows you to create something like Photoshop or Instagram. One function can accomplish a task or two, but with hundreds or thousands of harmonious functions, you can do things like write and receive emails, edit movies, and make music. A portrait of Plato and Aristotle is great, but 50 wise men harmoniously and aptly depicted is even better. Two lovers are wonderful, but a family is better, and a church even greater. At each of these levels, there is a beauty. There is a beauty of a cell and the beauty of a woman. But with the advent of abstract and non-representational art, a great error snuck into our minds. And the error was not that there is no value from a Van Gogh or Picasso, but that there was too much. Just as there is a common moral mistake of paying too much attention to things to which you ought to pay less attention to, there is also an aesthetic mistake of giving too much value to things that are of lower value. Van Gogh is not bad, he's just far inferior to Raphael. There is a beauty of a sunset, but it is far lower than the beauty of a woman. Just like all other aesthetic properties, something has to have that property for it to be beautiful because God has that property. God has form, or is form. That is, God has a structure, an essence, a nature. Thomas Aquinas says that God is therefore of his essence a form. So what is his form, his nature? Well, the Christian tradition is clear. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is, God is not indeterminate, not amorphous. He is form, the form of all forms. His particular nature is the triune God. And that's why something needs form to be beautiful. Thank you so much for watching the video this week. I really do appreciate it. If you'd like to support the channel, that would be great. You can subscribe. You can support it financially at patreon.com/thebibleisart. That'd be wonderful. Thank you so much. Leave your questions, comments below. I'll see you in the next video.